turn with me, if you would, this evening to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14. We wish to take as our text this evening, verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin with a very, very short word. Three-letter word, but. Sometimes when you come to the scriptures, very small words can convey a lot of meaning. And this one word is one of these words that carry with it more than the word itself would perhaps imply to you. The word but. You see it again in verse 31 when Jesus spake to Peter and said that this very day, in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently. Once again, the word but there, bringing with it a great significance. Well, in the verse that we've got before us this evening, verse 28, there are five things that I want to bring to your attention perhaps this evening. You have here the contrast, the comfort, the confidence, the consolation, and the congregation. The contrast, the comfort, the confidence, the consolation, and the congregation. Five things that we want to look at this evening. And the first of these is the contrast. The contrast that you have. The word but brings that contrast in, doesn't it? Here is one thing, but here is something else. And the contrast that you find here is between what is going to happen that evening and what will then happen afterwards. How they would be, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen. I will go before you into Galilee. There's a wonderful contrast here. A contrast between what is going to happen and ultimately what would come out of it. This small verse here, verse 28, is between two aspects where it can be a contrast. There is the contrast of the fact that the sheep would be scattered abroad. The sheep were going to be scattered. And the contrast later on that Peter is going to deny the Lord with curses and oaths. But here in particular, there is that contrast between that evening when they would be scattered and then later on when he would gather them back together again in Galilee. It's almost as though what is going to be seen, the circumstances that are going to prevail, are going to be something that the word of God will, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ will contradict. They will go through a dark period in their experience. They will go through a dark period in their time, where they will be scattered. And they will see that. There will be a time of trial. But that time of trial, where they will be scattered, the Lord will ultimately bring them back together again. It's the Lord that will gather them once again. That's what the cross does, isn't it? You see Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he's speaking about divisions, and he's saying the Lord's people should never be divided like that, because the Lord's people are one in Jesus Christ. They would go through a period, a time of being scattered, but the Lord Jesus Christ will gather And my friend, is that not what the cross does? The Tower of Babel, the sin of the Tower of Babel caused scattering, caused the divisions throughout the nations. But the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ would gather them back together again as his sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ today is gathering his people. The Lord Jesus Christ today is gathering his church, one church. The devil loves to scatter. The devil loves to cause confusion. The devil seeks to discourage. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he gathers into one. My friend, what a wonderful picture you have at the cross, where John and the Mother of Christ are brought together and they are one at the foot of the cross. And is that not true of every true believer? We may go through times of darkness. We may go through times of trouble. We may go through times that appear so very difficult for us in this world. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he will gather his people together and he will make them one. The middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile would be broken down. The church now would be gathered from all the corners of the earth, because the Lord Jesus Christ would go down to Galilee and he would meet with his children in Galilee. He would go before them and he would meet them down there. What a contrast. A contrast between what they will see and what Christ will ultimately do. Sometimes that's the way we are, isn't it? We sometimes can be walking by sight and we forget that the Lord Jesus Christ, the hand of the Lord, is behind everything. The Lord is there. A contrast. They will be scattered, but he will gather them again. And that brings us to the second thing. If the first is that there is a contrast, we also see there is the comfort. The comfort that is given to these disciples. What a comfort there is in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forewarning them that there is a time of trouble that is coming upon them that very night. He's forewarning them. And my friend, the Lord forewarns us that when we're in this world, God's people will have troubles and trials in this world, the same as everybody else will have troubles and trials in this world. But what a comfort it is to know that, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ knows before these troubles even come. He is fully aware of all that these disciples were going to suffer and have to go through that evening. There was no darkness. There was no trial. But that the Lord knew what it was. And he himself would go before them into these trials. He would go to Calvary. He would walk himself ahead of them into the darkness of that night. He's been there before. So what a comfort it is tonight that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a faithful high priest, who, whatever difficulties and trials we may suffer in this world, the Lord has gone before his people. And he has been there. Even death itself, even the last enemy, he faced that enemy. Just as God's people today must face that enemy. But as we face that enemy, we can be assured that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that death was coming. He knew the darkness that these disciples would enter into, and he himself went before them. And not only that, but he is intimating to them that this time of darkness and trial had an end to it. They would go through this night of darkness. But they could take comfort from the fact that after he had risen from the dead, he would meet them once again down in Galilee. In other words, there is a time limit to what they would have to suffer that night. the Lord would bring an end to their suffering and their trial. And my friend, is that not true even today? When God's people go through great trials and difficulties in this world, he will take you through it, but for a season, for a time. But he promises his people that these trials and tribulations and difficulties have an end. They will come to an end. Even our going through this world, one day will come to an end. And as we go through this valley of tears, the day will come when we will leave this world. And there are no more tears. There is no more suffering. There is no more sorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us that promise, that although in this world we may go through times of suffering, there is an end to these seasons. Just as there would be an end to the suffering of these disciples that night. A wonderful comfort that spoke to them that the time would come where their suffering would be over and he would meet them down again in Galilee. But if that is the contrast between their being scattered, but he says, I will gather you, and the contrast between what was going to happen that night, but he says, when I rise again, I will meet you down in Galilee. Think thirdly of the confidence with which the Lord was able to speak. This is such a unique situation, isn't it? This is such an absolute unique occasion. Here is someone that, even before he dies, as he goes and faces death, he is able to tell you, but I will rise again. What confidence. We live in a world where nothing really is certain, is there? We're now being told that Norway and Denmark, and as from yesterday, Ireland, are no longer giving the vaccine, the Zeneca vaccine, because it could cause blood clots. The World Health Organization says it's safe. These nations say that it might not be. Who knows? Is it safe? Is it not safe? When we think of this pandemic, are we going to be out of it in the middle of the summer? Are we not? Possibly we will be. Who knows? Will there be another outbreak? Will we have to go into lockdown again? We don't know. Everything is so uncertain. Life is uncertain. We don't know what is round the corner for any one of us. Life is so uncertain. But when Jesus spoke here, he didn't say, you will be scattered abroad. The sheep will be scattered abroad. And if things go well, I will rise again. And if it goes well, I'll meet you down in Galilee. That's not what the Lord says. How confident the Lord says, but after that I am risen. And then how more certain could you get? Who could ever have certainty, not only about life, but certainty about death and life after death? Nobody is ever able to speak the way the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. He spoke here about death. And he was speaking and saying before he even confronted it, that the victory was already his. Death would be swallowed up in victory. The grave would not hold him, but he would have the victory over death and the grave. How more certain, my friend, could you ever be that to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus here, intimating to these disciples that he would rise once again from the grave and from death? And my friend, if that not even give us the confidence this evening, the confidence to put our trust in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who die in the Lord, they sleep. They go to be with the Lord, which is far better. And the Lord welcomes them into his own presence. because he has promised that the one day they, the graves will open and they will rise from the grave, every bit as much as he himself arose from the grave. What wonderful confidence the words of the Lord Jesus Christ give to us this evening. A confidence that you will find nowhere else. An assurance that you will find nowhere else. Could you put your trust in the words of Peter? My friend, look at Peter. Peter makes it most certain that he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He would lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in a very short time, that very night, he's denying the Lord with curses and oaths. My friend, don't let us put our trust in man. Don't let us put our trust and the assurance of the words of man. Because even a Peter will let you down. My friend, if the church is built on Peter the rock, then I'm afraid the church is destroyed. Peter alone, and the testimony that Peter gives, is the rock upon which we must build. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is that testimony upon which the church will be built. The testimony that Peter gave of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. What words then of confidence? These were words that were a contrast. A contrast between what was being seen and what was ultimately going to come to pass. A comfort in that these words would indicate to the disciples that this time of darkness would have an end. A confidence that Jesus Christ would have the victory. That although they would fail, he would never fail. Though they would fall and be scattered, and though Peter would deny the Lord with curses and oaths, yet the Lord himself would never fail, but rather he would rise once again triumphant over death and the grave. But then there is the fourth thing, and that is the consolation. The consolation. We have the contrast. We have the comfort. We have the confidence. But my friend, what a consolation. Judas at this time has already gone his way and has fallen. We read, rise, let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand, he says in verse 42. Judas will go to that place that has been prepared for him. Judas is lost. But my friend, what about Peter and the disciples that are here? The disciples and Peter that are here, the disciples would be scattered. Not one of them would stand beside the Lord Jesus Christ as he stood before Pilate. Peter himself would, the leader in many respects, the most solid of them, denies the Lord Jesus with curses and oaths. Surely, there is reason here to believe that the Lord would himself reject these disciples. That the Lord would reject Peter. And that Peter would be cast away. My friend, what words of consolation there are in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here when he said, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Words of encouragement. Words of consolation. Words that surely would be an encouragement to Peter after he's fallen. I will go before you and I will meet you again. Every single one of you here will be scattered, and Peter, you'll even deny me, but don't worry about it. I'll meet you down in Galilee. You may deny me. You may sin grievously this evening, but your sins will be forgiven you. Your sins will be forgiven. There is consolation to be had in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ promises to meet them down in Galilee. And is that not a great encouragement to us this evening as we gather here? We go through this world, we go through times of darkness, we go through times of trial and tribulation, we even go through times and experiences in our own lives where we fail the Lord Jesus Christ so miserably. When we fail the Lord Jesus Christ the way Peter fails the Lord Jesus Christ. But does the Lord then cast off his those whom he loves? Does the Lord then cast off his disciples? He says to them, brethren, when I am risen again, I will go down and I will meet you down in Galilee. And yes, you will be scattered. And Peter, yes, you will deny me with curses and oaths. But I know your heart. I know that for all your failings, and for all that your sins, Peter, I know that you have a testimony that says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom else can we go? The Lord knew the heart of Peter. He knew the heart of these disciples. He knew that how weak these disciples were, how prone they were, how frightened they would be, and how they would deny the Lord. And my friend, the Lord knows this evening your heart, my heart. He knows how frail creatures we are. He knows how frail we are. He knows how feeble we are. And yet, he says, I will go before you, and I will lead you, and I will bless you. I will even meet with you down in Galilee. What a word of consolation. There's a word of contrast here. There's a word of comfort here. That their time of trial would have an end. There's a time of confidence here. They could have confidence in the word of God. And there is a time of consolation. There is a word of consolation. That even despite all their failings, the Lord would still meet with them. And the fifth thing is the congregation. I use that because you'll notice that all the points here that begin with C, they now are a congregation. They would congregate. The Lord says to them, but after this I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He would meet them down in Galilee. What a wonderful picture you have here of them congregating down in Galilee. Why Galilee? Why was it that he was going to go down and meet with them in Galilee? Well, down in Galilee, the Lord had more supporters in Galilee than he ever had up in Jerusalem. The Jews in Jerusalem despised the Lord and crucified him. He had more support up in Galilee where he was from. This was his hometown. This is where these disciples were from. They would go home and he would meet with them in their home. In their home. That tells us something. That the Lord will be found wherever he is welcomed. He was welcomed in Galilee by most of his supporters came down from Galilee. And where the Lord is welcomed, there is where he will be. When he goes up to Galilee, he will be witnessed up in Galilee, not down in Jerusalem, not among the Jews, but up in Galilee. 500 will see him. The disciples will see him. They will witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They would go back down to their own home and he would meet them there. And my friend, is that not true today? The Lord Jesus Christ takes his people home. Where is their home? For these disciples, it was down in Galilee. They were fishermen. They would go back to their fishing. They would go back to their trade and the Lord would come down and he would meet with them on the shore. Down by the Sea of Galilee. My friend, that's not really the true home of the Christian, is it? The Christian's true home is in glory, where the Lord is. And the Lord is there and meets with his people. He goes before them into heaven. He goes in before them into glory. He purchases the Father's house and he prepares the house for his people. And he waits for them to come to him. And when the Christian in this world is taken out of this world, when the Christian passes out of this world from time into eternity, they're going home. The disciples' home was in Galilee, but the Christian's home is in glory. What a wonderful picture we have of the death of Stephen when he is put to death and he is stoned to death and he looks up and he beholds the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Majesty, awaiting his servant being brought home to himself. What a wonderful picture then we have of the Lord coming down before them into Galilee. And he gathers them down there in Galilee, in the place where before he had ministered so often to them, where before he had ministered the word in their homes and on their seashore, on their boats, in their mountains. The Lord comes back to this place for one more time before he rises up into the clouds. He will be down in Galilee and he will meet them there. He went before them. My friend, is that not wonderful that the Lord was going before his church? And that is true today. As true today as it was then, the Lord is going before his church. He is the breaker up of the way. He is the breaker up of the way before his church. And as he sees this church going through this world, so it is that he himself has already been there. And he breaks up the way. What can we say then, just in a word of conclusion? 5 points. The word but. There is the scattering, and there is the denying, but there's a contrast. Christ will never deny his people. Christ will gather them into one. There is the comfort of the fact that no matter what you go through in this world, it is but for a season. Every dark place you are found has its end. And that end, for the believer, culminates in meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. The confidence in his word. My friend, what a confidence we can have this evening in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I am risen, not if I am risen, but when I am risen. My friend, what a confidence we can have when Jesus says, when I come again. Not if I will come again, but when I will come again. What a wonderful assurance. The graves will be opened and he will meet them in the air. And what a wonderful consolation that despite all our sins, Christ meets with his people and he will bless them, even down in Galilee. And finally, the congregation. Not one of the disciples that were with the Lord in Jerusalem was lost, except the son of perdition. All the disciples that were there, Peter, James and John, they all came back to Galilee. And they were all there with the Lord. Not one lost their lives that night. Why not? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said, I am he. Take me and let these go their way. Let these disciples go their way. I am Jesus whom ye seek. Take me and let them go. My friend, the Lord is doing that even today. He is blessing his people. He is congregating, he's bringing his people together. And those who are his own, he's washing them, cleansing them, and setting them apart. And he will meet with his people. And one day he will meet with them when he returns to this world. And even the very graves will give up their dead. What a comfort surely we have this evening when we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to lay hold upon. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee.